Owing to the failure of the recording system, this is the substance of what was said on the evening address on January the 12th, 1993. The first hymn sung was number 210. Scriptures read 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 17, chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. At chapter 6, the same epistle, starting from verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The word temple is used in both of these passages, but in chapters 3 and verse 16 it refers to the local gathering at Corinth. The article is missing in the original, ye are temple of God. In the second passage, in chapter 6 and verse 19, the temple refers to the physical body of the believer. In both scriptures, the word temple is the same and indicates the shrine, the holiest of all, or the sanctuary, and may be contrasted with 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13, where the temple buildings are referred to. In both cases, it is the holiness that belongs to God's temple that is emphasized. They should have known this, hence his oft-repeated word, "Know ye not." In 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle refers to himself as a wise master builder. He had been this at Corinth. For 18 months he had laboured among them and had laid a good foundation. The solemn words are added, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." The subject here is responsible building and needs to be contrasted with Matthew 16 and verse 18, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the builder. There can be no thought of failure there, as it says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In one way, we may think of Paul as a wise master builder, in a wider sense, as the one to whom the whole truth had been given. But here in 1 Corinthians 3, it is the wise architect with regard to the local assembly at Corinth. In the local gatherings today, it is a good thing to take a look back, if this is possible, as to their beginnings. Who laid the foundations? At Denmark Street or Faraday Road in Ipswich? Because there is an ongoing responsibility as to what is being built thereupon. The six kinds of material listed in verse 12 are divided equally: gold, silver, precious stones, durable materials, wood, hay and stubble, consumable materials. It is the matter of teaching and ministry of the word that is before us here. The durable materials is that which follow the apostles' teaching, not man's wisdom, nor high-sounding words appealing to man's intellect. This latter is that which would be consumed, as all is to be tested by the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 13 is a very striking verse and needs a closer look. The various words used are important. Every man's work will be made manifest, that is, made visible. The day shall declare it, make plain. It shall be revealed by fire, uncovered, unveiled. The day, the judgment seat of Christ, by fire, refers to searching discernment. This is all very sobering. All will come into the light then, motives and objectives. Seen in the eyes of the Lord, our service will be truly assessed by him. But there is great encouragement also. If any man's work abide, which ye have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. There is also a warning. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here is the case of a believer. His work has not survived the fire. It has been wood, hay and stubble. He himself is saved. Our eternal blessing does not rest on our labour, but on the changeless character of the death of Christ. The third case given in verse 17 is difficult to understand. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We can only come to the conclusion that here it refers to direct attempts by Satan to corrupt. God is jealous of his dwelling place. Him will God destroy. Chapter 6 and verse 9 to 20. It is well to remember the kind of place Corinth was. It is reflected in verses 9 and 10, where we are told the kind of people the Corinthians were before their conversion. And such were some of you. Verse 11 tells of the new kind of people they were through grace. But ye are washed, probably telling of their new birth. Ye are sanctified, set apart to God. Justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is because of the death and resurrection of Christ, cleared from every charge of guilt and condemnation. Going back to verses 9 and 10, as we read through these awful sins that characterize Corinth, we cannot but help seeing these very evils around us today. Sins that were outlawed not many years ago, now considered as acceptable by the authorities. That which belongs to the marriage relationship exclusively is flaunted on every hand. Fornication is allowable now. What a need for believers to be on the alert, particularly the young. Paul writes, "The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Verse 13. This is an outstanding verse. Consider the words, "The body is for the Lord." Scripture has a great deal to say about the body of the believer. Romans 12 and 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Then there is that earnest desire of Paul, writing to the Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." So here, the body is for the Lord, to be used for him in his service. Paul refers elsewhere to our members. "Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." That is the parts of our body yielded to him. The verse doesn't, however, stop there. It goes on to say, "the Lord for the body." This means that I can rely on the grace and help of the Lord in seeking to live for him. Lordship is a two-way thing. We are to own his authority. On the other hand, he is also the resource that we need. Verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" We remind ourselves again, the temple refers to the shrine. Let us break down the verse. "The Holy Ghost which is in you." The indwelling of the Spirit is true of all saints in this present day. It wasn't true in Old Testament days, but now, because sin has been put away, in the Lord's death we have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God. God is the source of this gift. "Ye are not your own, our bodies are claimed for God." This last expression leads us on to verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. What a price! We often sing, we are by Christ redeemed, the cost, his precious blood. What an affecting appeal to the Corinthians in the tendency to laxity of morals. What a word to us in our times. The cross, with all its suffering, shame and loss. Now he is our living Lord. How right is the last word. Glorify now, then God, in your body. May it be so.